Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now Phil explains the bullcrap with Frodo the Puppet.
Mr. Hendry, how are you today? It's a beautiful day.
It is, Frodo. How are you?
Good. Mr. Hendry, can you tell me what's Watergate?
Watergate? Oh, yes, Watergate, Frodo. Well, you know, the man who was known as Deep Throat came out today, said that he'd given the information. But your question is, what is Watergate? Well, Watergate was actually an office building in Washington which housed the Democratic National Committee's headquarters, the basic headquarters of the opposition party to President Nixon. He was a Republican. That was broken into one night by men who were working for a group of men in the White House. A group of men who had put together a kind of a de facto police unit trying to find out who was leaking press or leaking information to the press.
You're right. But what's that got to do with a man named Deep Throat?
Well, Deep Throat was this man who, when Robert Woodward and Carl Bernstein began to investigate this, these two very gifted young reporters with the Washington Post, he was the man they got their information from. He was a source that was cultivated by two reporters. That's what reporters do. They get a good source, they protect that source. That's why they said they would never say who he was until he died.
Okay, but what does that have to do with me taking a shower?
What do you mean with you taking a shower?
Yeah, I was in taking a shower the other night. You said, do you know how to deep throat it?
I never said anything. You know something? Come here.
Don't hurt me! Ow! Ow! What an idiot!
Why am I an idiot?
You're beating up your own hand!
You little... I never said anything of the sort, and I resent you...
Talk much?
Come here. There. Hey! Just ripped you up, huh?
What a psycho.
What are you calling me a psycho, man?
Jesus. You're like that guy that beat up his own dummy. You know that movie Magic?
I don't like the things that puppet says.
Yeah, okay, Mr. Savalas.
Oh, I see. The Twilight Zone reference, and a whole lot of other stuff people don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you say it, or didn't you?
Say what? I didn't ask that freaking puppet if he could deep-throat it. No. Did I say it, or didn't I? First of all, what puppet takes a shot? By the way, bud, I'm glad to see you, because I got something for you here.
All right.
Just hold on. There you go, bud. I printed it all off the internet. Mein Kampf. Go ahead, read it.
What the heck is this?
It's a book. You'd love it. It's all about you. It tells your story.
What?
It's by a guy named Hitler, about how he hates everybody. Jews, black people, everything.
I don't hate Jews. I just said I don't like black people.
Well, that's fine, bud. It's close enough. You'd really like this guy Hitler. Go ahead. Take it home. Read it. Relax. Enjoy it. I printed the whole thing off the internet. As soon as I saw Mein Kampf, I thought of you.
You say it's interesting?
Yeah, to an idiot like you, sure. It'd be very interesting. All great idiots have read that book and believed it.
By the way, can I point something out?
What?
You just ripped up your script for the next bit.
No, I didn't. I ripped up the script from... Get out of here and read Mein Kampf! You can get the whole Mein Kampf free on the internet. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. People wanted me to bring Frodo the Puppet back, but I knew it was only a matter of time before I beat it up and ripped it up, and he's right, I was. I was beating up my own hand. So that's... pretty psycho. So, yeah, it was kind of a wild thing when I heard about that Deep Throat cat coming out. His name was Mr. Felt, Mark Felt. And Watergate, there's not too much that can be said about that. I guess everybody has their personal... I can tell you this, that it was when I got into radio, 1973, and the Watergate hearings were taking place. I was unemployed, so I remember sitting there watching on television every day John Dean, and these guys, you missed, the best thing about the Watergate hearings were these senators. You missed, if you didn't see this hearing, they've got to be on videotape someplace. These guys were a trip and a half. There were these, I think there were eight senators, four Republican, four Democrat, the Watergate Committee. It had been impaneled to find out what the hell is going on here anyway. What do you mean some guys burglarized the thing and they got one of the guys had a White House phone? What the hell are you talking about? So the Congress, the Senate, decided to investigate it. Now, they had these senators. The guy that chaired it was a guy named Sam Ervin. He was the senator from North Carolina. Man, Foghorn Leghorn ain't got nothing on this guy. This guy was Foghorn Leghorn. This big, heavy-set, 75-year-old Democratic senator from North Carolina.
Now, son, I say, son, you,
everything, I swear to God.
Son, you say the president didn't have the...
Then next to him was Howard Baker. A lot of you might remember Howard Baker. He's in and out of the White House as a chief of staff. At that time, he was the senator from Tennessee. Chain-smoking son of a gun. This guy, and this back in the day when you could smoke on TV, smoke anywhere you felt like smoking. And these cats smoked a lot. The senators did. And there's Baker smoking these cigarettes, asking all these questions, and really blowing his mind some of the stuff he's finding out about a president that he supported, right? Dean comes in there. The other thing that nobody remembers, Dean had this wife, Maureen Dean. What a fox. I mean, she was gorgeous. Anybody remember that? He was sitting there. There's Dean with the mousy glasses.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I said the president, he had this little mousy voice. And as I said, the thing that they...
And behind him was this babe. Every day you'd tune in just to see her. She had her hair pulled back, big freaking earrings. Really fine-looking woman. Anyway, then the other guys they had on the Senate thing, Herman Talmadge from Georgia. Now, what do you think? You're right, alcoholic. Reminds me of that line from that movie, what, Arlie Ermey, my main man, he says, "This county is as dry as a martini, and we got the alcoholics to prove it." Full-on, loaded, rummy, drunk from Georgia, this guy Talmadge. Then they had another guy who you've seen in the movies, and his name's Fred Thompson. Fred Thompson's an actor, but back then he was a lawyer, and he was the counsel for the Republican side on the Watergate Committee. And the other personalities, I can't remember, but those are the guys that I remember the most, this guy Ervin. And they had a guy from Lowell Weicker from Connecticut and a few other cats that asked a bunch of dopey questions. But they got to the bottom of the whole thing. They got Dean to come out with the big one, which was, "I told the president about this before he came on TV and said he hadn't heard about it." So that proved that Nixon lied to the American people and was aiding in some kind of a cover-up. And Dean had the notes. He had the whole thing down. Well, now, any guy can say he has the notes, right? What's the thing that killed Nixon? Here's what killed him, man. This just murdered the guy. A guy by the name of Alexander Butterfield was a presidential aide. He worked in the White House. He came in, and he said, "Oh, well, the president's conversations are on tape." And I remember Howard Baker was just about ready to light a cigarette. You ever seen a guy stop lighting? You know, he kind of looks at you. He's about to light a cigarette. He kind of stops. And Baker's got this Pall Mall he's ready to just suck on. And he says, "What'd you say?" He says, "Well, sir, there's a taping system in the Oval Office." He says, "You're telling me that the president's conversations are taped?" "Oh, yes, sir." Well, that killed him, because what they did is they subpoenaed all those tapes. And right there on tape was Nixon telling Dean, "We got to get some money together to keep these guys quiet." And then there's this 20-minute gap. Nixon obviously had somebody edit this out. And there's been millions of guys in radio ever since that day. You've probably met a few of them, Mark and Bud. You probably don't even know what I'm talking about.
I'm reading Mein Kampf. Shut up.
Yeah, okay, you keep reading. But like I said, if I'd been working on that tape, Nixon would still be president, right? Because the editing job on it was just for crap. It was just all of a sudden, "Well, I would like..." But anyway, that's what murdered this guy, and they had it all on tape, so he was dead meat, baby. He's right there. He says, "Yeah," and they were going to impeach his ass, so he said, "I'll resign." He quit. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. Meanwhile, these guys, Woodward and Bernstein, all they did is kept up the pressure. They just kept the pressure. They just kept it in front of the American people. Right when Nixon thought he was winning the public relations war in this thing, right when he thought, "Well, you know, it's a bunch of crap," and people were starting to buy it, Woodward and Bernstein had come out with another bomb. Well, hey, John Mitchell found... Oh, yeah? Well, then Mitchell had to quit. He was the attorney general. And then another guy, the chief of staff of the White House, this guy by the name of Haldeman. Then another guy, Ehrlichman, who was another guy. He had to quit. And it just kept getting closer and closer to Nixon until finally he was just the cat was ready to, you know, they were going to send him to prison. So he resigned, and he went out to San Clemente, and he spent the rest of his life, Richard Nixon spent the rest of his life trying to rehabilitate his presidency. And that's the saddest thing, man. That's the saddest thing in the world, a guy trying to rehabilitate his presidency, you know?
What's that mean?
What?
Rehabilitate.
I thought you were reading Mein Kampf.
Well, I just took a break.
You're reading it for 5 minutes, you're taking a break, huh? It means make him better. Make it better than it was.
All right, I'm going to get back to Mein Kampf now.
Great. And that was kind of messed up because the cat could do it. I could say, you know, I did great things. China, cool. Russia, great. Detente. But as far as that Watergate thing went, no, man, he blew it big time. But I'll give you this. Nixon didn't hate his country. He loved his country. I think Nixon was a patriot. He just was a... He was paranoid. Paranoid. All right.
What does that mean?
Oh, will you shut up and keep reading? You didn't even ask me what Mein Kampf reads means.
Mein Kampf. It's German or something.
Yeah. What's it mean?
Mein Kampf.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
What does it mean?
I don't know. I don't speak German.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, it's time now for the Phil Hendry Show flashback request. And coming up, we have dyslexic poet Billy Seymour. He'll be reading Dylan Thomas's Under Milkwood with, like, I don't know, he's dyslexic, so he'll screw that up. And then Professor Husband Ginther will be the host of that. We also have the President Bush's Memorial Day speech, which he apparently used the term "those miserable sons of bitches" about 150 times in it, so we got to hear that. But right now, it's time for the By Request flashback. This is from Eric and Desiree, and they write, "Hey, Phil, can you please play the bit where Ted Bell wants the right to drive as fast as he can through neighborhoods in his Porsche with his racing gloves and his hat? I can't remember why Ted wanted the right to drive through these neighborhoods as fast as he wanted to, but he is wearing those, you know, those hat, and he's got the racing gloves." And here it is, Eric and Desiree, Ted Bell.
Yeah, I've never heard such an ignorant, self-centered sermon in all my born days. That man has no idea. I'm a retired officer, and I'm telling you.
I'm sorry, you're an opera singer, did you say, sir? I didn't hear what the gentleman said.
You're retired what, Paul?
A retired state officer.
Police, oh, okay.
A DMV.
Okay.
And if I had found him on the road doing that, I would have arrested him for speeding, child endangerment, and anything else I could think of. That is the most...
Why?
That is the most lousiest, self-centered...
Wait a minute. What are you arresting me for? First of all, I got a Porsche 911 GT2.
I don't care what you got. You're a danger. A child running out, there's no way you can stop that car.
And sir, do you think...
I don't care.
Do you think it's right for a guy to stand in his driveway and go, hey, you, like I'm some...
You're damn lucky it wasn't me. I'd have dragged you out of the car and beat the shit out of you.
Can you watch your language, please, Paul?
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you're a former police officer, and you commit assault. Okay, that tells us how they do things in Arizona. That's great.
Well, now, I can tell you, that is me speaking as a father.
Did you say you worked for the DMV?
Wait until you see some kids ride with somebody who has to pick up a child who's been run over with a car.
Wait. I'll ask you the same question that I asked Mr. Hendry. When's the last time you read about a kid getting crushed by a Porsche driven by a man who owns a restaurant? Never. Now, the things that I...
That has nothing to do with it. It's a residential street. You can't tell what kids are going to do.
Exactly, especially if they're playing with...
Whoa. Mr. Hendry, are you taking his side? Because...
Well, I'm not taking anybody's side, but if a kid is out with a ball, you know how it is. A kid, the ball bounces out into the street. The kid goes chasing it.
Phil, I am an expert driver. I can swerve to avoid. You
tell that to, the people whose kids have been killed by so-called expert drivers.
Sir, with all due respect, I'm a prominent businessman. I don't drag kids within my bumper.
It doesn't make a difference who you are. When a kid runs behind
the train, Bell.
Kid runs.
Well, all I'm saying is, you really ought to see me.
Why should you because you're a big man, got all kinds of money, and believe me, I've run into them, I want to have your badge, but tell me this, why, because of all your money, and you're supposed to be a prominent man, you feel that you should be able to do anything you want to, and you could care less about anybody else?
No, no. You, Paul, would feel better if you saw me in action. I could take you out here to the Bradley Driving Dunes. You
want
to see
me. Speedway.
You want to see me in action because my Porsche can turn on a dime. No way I hit a kid if he jumps in front of me. No way.
Right in front of you.
No way.
Tell that to the parents whose kids who's been run over by guys.
You can look in your own Arizona statistics, but kids are mainly killed by individuals who make less than $100,000 a year. Now that's a proven fact.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States of America, President George Bush.
Thank you. Well, it's been quite a time for all of us here. I just want to say I'm very happy to be here. And I just want to tell you that those miserable sons of bitches, I'm trying to get the echo chamber work on this bit, and it ain't working at all. You want to know why? Because some miserable son of a bitch came in here during the weekend and changed everything on this board. Listen to that. Sounds like I'm stuck in some kind of a swirling matrix of death. All kind of doom and gloom. I can't get no echo. There's the crowd noise, but no echo. I can't do this bit. Now I sound like I'm blue blazes. Aw, y'all suck. I hate you. I was going to do a whole thing on miserable SOBs who are fighting in Iraq, but the miserable son of a bitch come in this broadcast studio over the weekend while I wasn't here, me being Phil Hendry, not George Bush. I'm going to kill him. I'll commit murder because some miserable son of a bitch come in this studio. In fact, forget it. I'm getting out of character. I'm going to go find a guy and kill him right now, bud.
Wait a minute.
No, I'm going to kill him. I'll be right back.
Okay, I feel better. He's dead. Dead as hell.
Who was it?
I don't know, but it was somebody. I just, the first guy I met. What the hell happened to the echo in this thing? Testing 1, 2, 3. This is the most unprofessional thing in the world to have to sit here and futz around with something, man, that was supposed to be working 2 minutes ago and now it don't work. Does anybody use this studio besides us? No one? It's locked? What, you got the fireworks up?
Well, moving on. In other news, a man was arrested yesterday after being mauled by a chimpanzee. Apparently he pissed the chimpanzee off. Courts hold, by the way, that a chimpanzee has every right in the world to rip your face off if you look two ways different at him that he ain't used to. You understand that? So don't go screwing with a chimp, man. We have coming up dyslexic poet Billy Seymour. And we'll also be talking with one of our favorite people in the world, Earl Pants, who is in the Middle East test driving the new cars. Well, they're not really new. They're just Middle Eastern. So I suppose they're old French cars is what they are. But he'll be test driving a few of those and, you know, sort of compare them to the American models, things like that. By the way, David Hall will be back with us to discuss the Star Wars music that he usually uses when he enters our show. Apparently he wants to change it. So that'll be a real big, big thing. We got anything in here, bud, to do that has anything to do with anything in the world today?
Well, what about Watergate?
I'm done talking about Watergate. I don't want to talk about Watergate anymore. It's over and done with. You know, one thing that Nixon did do, he made it impossible for any president after him, to be believed by the American people. Thank you very much, Mr. Nixon. I really appreciate that a lot. Thanks a lot. Now, no president can say anything that anybody believes. Not a thing. Because Nixon was a lying douche. Pardon my use of the word. But I'm filling time because my echo chamber, this is what it is right here. See, I sound like I'm in a toilet. It's supposed to be going like that. Instead, I sound like I'm sitting in someone's john. I'm sitting in someone's bidet just waiting to
wash someone off. That's how humiliating this is.
Be right back. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Bob Bakian, I think, is out there. No, wait a minute. where are we here, man? Are we in the... In what mode am I in tonight? Am I even alive? Am I even doing anything? Bob, are you there? Bob?
Phil, I'm right here, yeah, but I don't have the helicopter sound effects. What's going on?
I don't know.
I think at some point you have to realize it's you.
How's it me?
You're the guy that's running everything. Or blame everyone.
You got to come out and say it like that in the open, bud? Can't you wait until we're off the air?
You always call me a retard, saying I drool and stuff.
I didn't mean to call you a retard. I'm sorry. God.
Look at you wasting valuable time. Oh, excuse me. I have to get my sound effects lined up before I can do the bit. God, what a bag. A D-bag.
D-bag?
Yeah. Got to clean it up.
Sorry, folks. I'm not myself.
What, you giving up?
Will you shut up? Whoever made you into a co-host? I'm having a difficult time here tonight. Let me just start this all over again. Okay. Now, you said, did you say four in, did you say number four, Mark, in... Wait, what, bud?
I had to call him.
Oh, come on, man.
What are you doing now? You're sitting there pulling on it? Are you doing a show or not?
I'm trying to get the sound effect.
Can you maybe get the sound effects lined up during a break? So the listeners don't have to sit here and wait for you to do... Oh, God!
Look at pal. You with that whole deep throat bit in the first hour.
That was very informative.
By the way, I got something to say.
What?
This fireworks special effects that you bought for this studio is the worst piece of garbage that I've ever seen in my life.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, the special effects generator I got here for this studio, this fireworks, sucks. Sucks on wheels.
Ted Bell.
Who?
Ted Bell.
What's it, Bell?
Yeah, Ted.
Bill, I heard, wait a minute, what were you just saying about the fireworks effects generator?
Ted, this is David. All he says it sucks.
Whoa. Chip Firework is a very good friend of mine.
Anyway. What do you mean, Chip Firework? That's his name?
Yeah.
You mean it's named after the family?
Yeah.
The family's name is Firework?
Yes. Why, did you think any other reason?
Oh, well, I thought maybe fireworks as in special effects.
Look, why did you quit doing so much thinking? Just listen to what the man's saying.
What I'm trying to tell you is, Phil, Chip Firework is a very dear friend of mine. Now, you've done two things tonight... that have really messed some things up for me. Number one, you've criticized his family's company that produces these effects generators for radio shows. That's number one. Number two, you did that whole deep throat bit.
Yeah, I told you, Phil.
How did that screw things up?
You start talking about gag reflex, a man starts thinking other thoughts, okay? Now, he wanted to bring his family in. He wanted to eat in the prime rib room, wanted our prime booth. I said, okay, but it'll cost you. Well, I guess that's out the window.
I don't understand.
Oh, come on. Put two and two together.
Okay, do I have to spell it out for you?
Are you telling me that you were going to require that guy?
Not him, his wife.
Would you guys get out of here? We'll be right back to Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, let's go to Bob Bacon now. I'm sorry, Bob. Are you there?
Yeah, Phil, I'm right now here in the helicopter with the sound effect. I mean, I'm in my helicopter right now, Phil. And right now I'm flying over Los Angeles International Airport, where just moments from now Dave Chappelle is going to exit a plane and officially return to the United States. Well, Dave, as you know, has been a treatment, Dave Chappelle, of the HBO Comedy Special. And and I think I see him right now, Phil.
All right, so Bob, this is Dave Chappelle. Was he seeking treatment elsewhere?
I believe Dave was seeking treatment in Canada or Mexico for mental health issues. His return to LA Internet. There he is. No, I'm sorry. That's just a porter with some suitcases.
Isn't that funny?
What?
Isn't that funny?
No, I'm not. What do you think? I'm doing shtick?
I told you don't do shtick. You heard what Mr. Hall said.
I'm not doing shtick. Wait a minute. Here comes Dave Chappelle, Phil, a great man. Not a great man, but a funny guy. If you can't laugh at the Dave Chappelle show... No, I'm sorry. That's just a bathroom attendant. Okay, here he comes. Nope, it's Grace Jones. No, wait a minute. No, it's someone's chauffeur.
Get out of here, will you?
Wait, I want to do some of the shit.
Okay, yeah?
Mr. Hall.
Not Hall. Hey!
Yeah?
Hey, I told you to tell that guy not to do shtick. Look, Hall, why don't you mind your own business? I'll mind my business, you mind yours. Hey, listen, you're a traffic reporter and a news reporter. You do shtick, it pisses me off. You understand that? Oh, why don't you go and have another sandwich, you fat tub of guts? Really? See, that solves that problem.
I wish you hadn't done that.
He's still alive.
Now he's not alive.
All right, thanks, David.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you for killing him. Good God. Hey, here comes Dave Chappelle. Oh, I'm sorry, it's just a porter. You know, why does that have to happen?
I think he's funny.
Yeah, I know you do. Finish reading your Mein Kampf, bud, you racist piece of crap.
I like the time he said, Dave Chappelle, you can't give a black man that much money and fame.
You know, that's really so racist. What is your problem?
It's true. There's a lot of people agree with it, too.
Who agrees with something stupid like that?
A lot of people.
You can't give that much money and fame to a black man, huh? What's going to happen?
Well, you've seen it. They drive their Rolls Royce into Taco Bell. They wear a lot of gold and they act dumb.
Well, like, you're the smartest cat I ever did here, man. You are just all brains.
I'm just telling you, I call it the way I see it. I'm Bud Dickman.
Oh, God, when's it going to end? All right, a couple of things. Harry was just telling me that he and his wife went to it. Now, Harry Shelley, who is our associate producer, is a resident of Los Angeles. Harry's from the Chicago area. Let me tell you about Chicago. Chicago is everything, really, that we read about America. It really is very representative of our country. There are neighborhoods, there's the city, there's a lot of theater, there's a lot of art. And it's all conducted in a relative climate of civilized behavior. I'm not saying that they don't have their crime and their mayhem. But Chicago does have a sort of a self-consciousness about the way it represents itself. It likes the fact that it's not New York or L.A. It enjoys that, and it promotes that fact. Now, Los Angeles, as you know, is a whole other thing. We're not even, you know, you come out here, and you go into certain areas of L.A., and it's very non-representative, although I would say that our suburbs and the outlying areas are pretty typically American. A little redneck, but typically American. Now, he takes his wife to the L.A. Dodger game. Now, I don't know about any of you guys, but in public, using F word, MF, and all that stuff, see, to me, that's no class. And I will get up and I'll say something to somebody if I'm with my kids. And if I'm with my wife, in fact. Excuse me, would you not use that language? My wife's here. Okay? Then if the guy says to me, oh no, you know, F you, then I go get the security guy. Excuse me, but I didn't come to Dodger Stadium to hear this. Now, when the O'Malley's owned the team, they had a very, you know, they tried to keep it nice and clean. Now that I don't know who this guy is that owns it, Perry's a very nice guy. I guess he is. I don't know a damn thing about the guy. Now the place is kind of turning into a toilet out there at Dodger Stadium, okay? Now all you cats that come out with all your gang tats, all you want to be gangsters anyway, all you guys that come out with your pant leg rolled up and your haircut and, you know, 15 gold teeth, man, that you had your cousin's dental assistant friend do, and all of the stuff that goes into your life, good for you. Why don't you watch your behavior before somebody takes a baseball bat to your face right there in the stands? I mean, it's going to happen. See, you guys that come out to those games from the hood. Now, I know you're coming heavy. Good for you. You're probably packing. That's great. But the day is going to come when you use that behavior and you use all that language one too many times around a man's kids and around his wife, and people are afraid to say anything. You know, because they're afraid they're going to get beat up. Why? I'm going to get beat up because I asked you to behave like a freaking human being instead of a freaking animal? Is that what I'm going to get beat up because of that? Because you're acting like an animal. You got no class. And all the freaking tats and guns and rolled up pant legs and everything else in the world ain't going to make you anything other than what you are, a punk. And now when you come out to the ball game and you're around other people.
White people.
When you're around white people. I didn't say white people. When you're around other people who've got a little bit of civilization under their belts, in other words, I'm real sorry that your daddy left when you were really small and your mother's a crack whore or whatever your problem is, okay? It ain't my problem right now. I'm watching a baseball game. And the Dodgers, why don't you guys get a clue? Or is that the new, is that your audience now? Okay, good for you. I hope you make millions of dollars basically catering to the needs of L.A.'s finest gang members. Hey, all right. That's the Dodgers' new clientele now. They're taking a page out of the Raiders' book, which basically means you're getting some of the dumbest human beings that ever walked the face of the earth in to buy your freaking Dodger dogs. Bet you those guys love to buy them box seats, too, don't they? The Raiders came into town, and they catered to all that scumbag mentality, and they left town. Dude, who wants that? You know, we're football fans in this town, and if it means we don't have the NFL here, then it means we don't have the NFL here. We got football in this town. We used to get 100,000 fans out for football games when we had pro games here. But you know what? We don't need any NFL team if your whole trip is, you guys are like now selling gang gear. Hi, the NFL, the world's finest gangs wear it. Like that. That guy up there that owns the Raiders, who I've been talking about that guy for 20 years, that Davis, he's a turd and a half, man. Don't you think there would be a guy that'd come out and say something like this? You know, we don't like gang members wearing our gear. Thank you and good night. I'm Al Davis. Now I'm going to go back and I'm going to, you know, do what I do, pretend like I know something about football. Good. No, he hadn't said that. Then the other thing that I wanted to mention on top of all of that, I want to segue very quickly into this. Because this has a lot to do with gangbangers that I want to take a baseball bat to their skull. L.A. Magazine named us the 11th funniest show in L.A.
That got to do with anything.
Doesn't have anything to do with it, but I got to segue into it. Los Angeles Magazine named Phil Hendry the 11th funniest person in L.A. The 11th funniest. Now, what does that mean? It means we're not in the top 10. But it also means that we head up the rest of the pack. Now, I thought I had the list here, but I don't know where it is. Oh, well, I do know this, that we were higher rated than Ali G. Thank God for that. Because I would have taken that would have been it. I would have swallowed the barrel of a Smith & Wesson. That's the end of that. Thank you, Jesus. There's some justice. There is, but it's a list. I don't know. The top 10 is really some very funny people. Some of the people in the top, but I don't have it. It's in Los Angeles Magazine. I guess you have to buy it. Because I won't. I mean, what do I want to buy that for? No, I mean, thank you very much. It's a great honor. But yeah, we were higher rated than Ali G. That's all I was looking for. I didn't care about anything else. Please make it. Yeah, okay. So that chump change, he's down at like number 18 or something. I don't know what. And I think the funniest guy in LA, well, the number two was Sarah Silverman, who were very big fans. Oh, Ellen DeGeneres was number one. Chris Rock was number two. The Seinfeld guy,
yeah, Larry David.
Larry David was in there, and Sarah Silverman was up there, and she's a riot. And then it rounded out that chick Cambridge. What's her name? She's in that damn all of those flicks. You know, God, come on, man, Best in Show.
She's the one that had that lisp.
Yeah. Oh, my God, is she hysterical. She was number 10. And I can't remember the rest. And then we were like right, you know, we were following right behind her. We were just coming right up the rear of her. And then after us was some other guys. Oh, you know what? I've got it. When we come back from the break, I'll look for it. Yeah.
Real organized tonight, aren't you?
I told him, Mr. Hall.
All right, I'll look. I'm sorry. I don't have my act together today. I don't know what the hell my problem is, man. Maybe it was yesterday, but being Memorial Day. Maybe it was a 3-day weekend.
More like a 5-day weekend.
If you don't shut up, tonight will be the night that I commit homicide. Here on this show, I got the gun effects and everything. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, anyway, Los Angeles Magazine, the 25 funniest people in L.A., and number one was Ellen DeGeneres. No, everybody says Ellen. I feel almost funny saying her last name. Isn't that wild? Number one was Ellen. That's like saying Sulu. What was... Oh, don't tell me I got the fireworks on. Or what... Oh, it's the freaking horn, bud.
Sorry.
So number one was Ellen, and I think... Will you turn that off before I kill? Number one was Ellen. Number two was Chris Rock. Three was Larry David. Sarah Silverman was four. Number five was Kathy Griffin. Number...
Ooh.
Kathy Griffin.
What?
Just never mind. She was on your Bud's Babe of the Week. What are you talking about? What? And a few others, and we'll get to the 11 through 25. How about that when we come back from the break? Because I'm all out of time. I will say this. They had another section that said are the least funniest people in L.A., and they had in there Dennis Miller. And I'm going to tell you why they had Dennis in there. It's because of the politics. That's it. Can't we get past that? No, because if you're a political comic and you say something that makes people angry, then they're not going to think you're funny. I mean, what is it with the whole... establishment in terms of entertainment in this town, that everybody's got to be a bona fide member of the douche carrying club. Why can't, isn't there one dude who's got his head screwed on straight out here at all? Everything is just this real humorless, oh, really? You voted for Bush and you're Democrat, huh? Yeah, yeah. You know why? So I could see you scrunch your face up like that. All right, anyway, so we'll come back with that and also dyslexic poet Billy Seymour in the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.